many understand that God is preparing you this morning for what God has prepared for you? And with that, would you please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. While you're turning there, I like to tell little stories, especially Disney stories, because they paint a picture in my head. So let me share a story that we're all familiar with, and that's Jack and the Beanstalk. Most of us are familiar with that story, but I'd like to share one of Disney's versions of it, and that stars Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Goofy. And it starts out with the narrator saying that they're in Happy Valley and everything is prosperous. Everybody is happy. Everybody's having a wonderful time until the giant that's up above changes himself into a ghost, comes down and steals the golden harp that sings. At that point in time, poverty takes over. It's gloom and doom in the land of Happy Valley. And then it flashes to Mickey, Goofy, and Donald. And Mickey, Goofy, and Donald are about ready to split a piece of bread that is so thin by the time they cut it, they can see right through this piece of bread. There's poverty in the land. They cut this little peanut up, and they're going to eat this little peanut, a little peanut divided three ways. Well, you all know Donald. He's like a lot of us in here. He goes just a little bit ballistic. And he's going to go out and eat the cow raw. And Mickey comes to the rescue and he delivers, you know, the cow from Donald's, you know, munching teeth. And then Mickey is now going to take this cow to the market. He's going to sell the cow. So when he leaves, Donald Duck does what a lot of us do. We've prayed, we've believed, we are now totally, completely excited. I mean, Goofy and Donald are cashing the check before they've got it. They're talking about the banqueting table they're going to have, how much food they're going to have to eat. They are dancing, they are rejoicing. They're just having themselves a heyday, but the check hasn't even got there yet. And Mickey comes home, and Mickey doesn't have a check. Mickey doesn't have a banqueting table. The only thing Mickey's got is three little beans. And how many know what Donald does? Donald goes ballistic. He's like on a roller coaster. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. And you all know the story. Donald kicks the beans out of Mickey's hands. They fall in the cracks in the planks of the house, and the beanstalk grows up into heavens where the giant's at. And they climb up there. In the end of the story, we all know how they rescue the harp with the golden harp that sings. They come back down, cut the vine down, and the giant falls. But because it's a Disney story, he lives. But the point of the story is there was a better deal. See, so many times what we want is instant gratification, just like Donald did. We pray, we believe, we receive. It's true. We get excited about it. But then when adversity comes our way, we're just like Donald. We go ballistic again. We get depressed. We're down in the mouth. We're bucket mouth and leaky lip. But what God has for us is a better deal. Not just one meal, but God wants us to live in His presence perpetually. He wants us to enjoy salvation instead of sin, health instead of sickness, love instead of loneliness, happiness instead of despair, faith instead of fear, abundance instead of lack, prosperity instead of poverty, good instead of evil. You see, that doesn't come with just one meal. That's what God wants you and I to enjoy. That's what became our right when we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in our heart God the Father raised Him from the dead. That became ours. But so many times, because there's a detour in our life, we get a little bit upset. So let me share with you God's better deal for you this morning. Let me share with you how God is preparing us for what He has prepared for us. See, in verse number 17 of Exodus chapter 13, it says, "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go," how many know he had no choice? Let me give you a little bit of background. That's talking about our salvation. The death angel has come. He's wiped out, if you will, the firstborn of Egypt, and the children of Israel are now free. That's like being born again. The very moment that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God the Father raised Him from the dead, the blood of Jesus is all that God sees anymore. We are clean. We have been delivered out of the powers of darkness. We have been delivered into the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now listen to what it says. We have been delivered. We're born again. How many know that is not where it stops? Now it says that God is going to lead them. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know why sheep need to be led? Because we're kind of dumb. So the shepherd, the great shepherd, is going to lead us. If you know anything about the 23rd Psalm, by the way, he's going to do what? Lead us to the green pastures beside the still waters where we can lay down and enjoy this abundant life that God has for us. But it says that God led them not by the way of the Philistines, though it were closer. Peradventure, when we see the enemy, we turn tail and run. Or as it says in the King James, went back to Egypt. First thing, how many know who's doing the leading? God. Are you catching the picture? I give my life to Jesus. I confess him as what? Lord. He is now the one doing the leading. He's not supposed to be the follower. He's supposed to be leading you and I. And it says he leads us. Listen, his ways don't always fit my ways. I don't think God ever looks at my day timer. I don't think he looks at my plans. He looks at his plan. Because he is preparing me for what he wants because he's got a better deal in mind. I'm just like you parents looking at your children that are very nearsighted. They want the temporary fix. They don't want to study to go to college. But you know they need to go because we've been there, done that. See, we're preparing our children, right, for their future. God's doing the same thing for you and I. And so he's going to take us on a detour. And sometimes God's detours are the long way around. It's not only the shortest distance between two points. God has detours for us. And sometimes those detours look like denials. They're not. They're just delays. So don't let a delay in the promise of God look like a denial. It's not. But God does know that sometimes our character will take us somewhere that our talents and, or I should say, our gifts and talents will take us somewhere that our character cannot hold us. You say, what does that mean? Just look at, I don't mean to use her as an illustration, but it's a wonderful one. I wish to God it didn't happen. Look at Britney Spears. See, her gifts, her talents took her somewhere, but her character cannot hold her there. That's why she's losing her children. There's a lot of us the same way. Our gifts and our talents will take us somewhere that our character cannot hold us. God wants to develop that character in us. He has got a better deal for you and for me. So he's going to take us on a detour. Now he says, in verse number 18, he's going to lead us to the wilderness. Wait a minute, God, that's not on the recruitment poster. You said you're taking us to a land flowing with milk and honey, not snakes and sand. But God is preparing you and I for what he's prepared for us. And then it says in verse number 20 that he had a pillar of cloud to lead us by day and a pillar of fire to lead us by night. Just a free one for you. In a period of 24 hours, he led them two different ways. Isn't that amazing? God has got all kinds of different ways to lead you and I. He may lead us one way in the morning and another way in the evening. Now you got this pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And then it says, verse 21, that God did not take the pillar of cloud away from them, neither by day or by night. How many know that when you get born again, God is never going to leave you? He is never going to forsake you. He will be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a half days a year. The man is going to live with you eternally. That's why his name is called Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, because he's the God that came to dwell with you and I permanently. That is a better deal. When I got to turn in my old self and get a brand new person, that's a better deal. Amen. And then you come to chapter 14, verse number 1. And God says to Moses, tell the people. I mean, no, Moses is a type of the deliverer. It's a type of Jesus. Some people think that God is just speaking to one person. No, he's speaking to the multitudes through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So this word is very pertinent for you and for I. He's leading them where? To a wilderness. Some of us shun a wilderness. Well, you need to understand there are three wildernesses. The first one is the one the devil leads you to. You got a lot of fruitcakes out there that claim they're Christians, and the devil's leading them around every which way but the right way. I mean, some people are such Looney Tunes in Christ, they couldn't blow their brains out if they had a flashlight and dynamite, okay? They're just totally, completely out to lunch. That's when you let the enemy lead you around. The second one is this wilderness that it's going to ultimately end up, and that's where they've heard from God. God's trying to lead them, and they try to do their own thing and just get into doubt and unbelief. How many know that means you're going to walk in a circle for 40 years? A 40-day journey ends up going in a circle for 40 years. I've been in the horse industry, cattle industry, for about 27 years, and they have a round corral. There's a lot of things you can do in a round corral when you're going to train a pony, but let me just give you one, okay? In a round corral, they take a colt in there. They're going to bring that colt into submission, or what they call breaking the colt, and that colt's whole world goes in a circle. Around and around and around until, are you ready? He submits to the cowboy's will. How is your life going today? Is your life going around and around and it's like the only thing you're seeing is your own tail? maybe you need to submit and understand God has a better deal for you this morning. And it's a better view than looking at your own tail. Yes. Are you all still here? Yes. And the third wilderness, it's a glorious spot to be. And that's where God is leading. Where is God leading us? To a wilderness. Who's talking in the midst of this wilderness situation? Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1 says, "And God spoke unto them." How many know God's speaking when you're in a wilderness? If he's leading and he's not going to leave me, how many know if I'm in a wilderness situation, that might be a very glorious position for me to be in. That might be the glory zone when I'm in a dead end or a cul-de-sac in my life. Look at Jesus. When Jesus went, it says he was led by the Spirit, Luke chapter 4. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14 says, and he came out in the power. Where was he led? To a wilderness. By who? The Spirit. And he came out in the power. You think God has a better deal for you too? He's leading us into the wilderness. That's a glorious spot. Who's he fellowshipping with? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the El Shaddai, the Mighty Breasted One, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are having a personal encounter with Almighty God. When he's leading you to a wilderness, Jesus was not alone in the wilderness. He was away from you and I, if you will, but he was still in the presence of Almighty God the Father and came out in the power of God Almighty. So when God is leading you and I in a wilderness, he's still talking to us because he's got a better deal in mind for you and I. He is preparing you and I for what he has prepared for you and I. I like it. He's got a better deal. We're in a wilderness. You see, we need to understand it's not wrong to be in a wilderness. You and I could be, if you will, feel like we're all alone in a wilderness and still be around all these people. Doesn't mean I go and isolate myself, but it means God's doing something internally for my eternity. Are you listening to this? See, he's doing something for my internal being for my eternity. And he's going to be speaking to me. He's going to be talking to me. In Genesis chapter 22 is a story where Abraham is going to offer up his son Isaac. Let me give it to you very quickly. It says, God speaking to Abraham says, Abraham, offer up your only son Isaac. By the way, how many children did Abraham have? Two. He had Ishmael and he had Abraham. Ishmael was born of the flesh. How many know God doesn't care about that? He does care about the spirit. When God issues the plans, that's what he's concerned about. So he says, offer up your only son, Isaac. He had a brother, Ishmael. Listen to me. God will bless the fruit of your hands. He blessed Ishmael. But what God's concerned about is the spiritual things that are going on in your life. He will bless the fruit of your hands. Deuteronomy 28 says so. But he says, offer up your only son, Isaac. Please listen to one of the mountains that I will show you. How many know it says one of? How many know if it says one of, there's more than one? And he didn't tell you and I the mountain. Why? Because I have a mountain I have to climb. You have a mountain you have to climb. Pastor has one he has to climb. My wife even has one she has to climb. And that mountain is my mountain. It's none of your business. Am I doing okay? Are you catching this? See, I have to go to my mountain. Then Abraham did what many of us do. It says this. It says he saddled his ass and got two young men around him. Anybody know what a donkey is? The King James calls it an ass. You know what that is? It's called the burden bearer. What we like to do is when God tells us something, we like to dump it on somebody. Because we don't want to enjoy what God has for us. What is that? A personal, intimate, one-on-one relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're afraid to be in his presence. We're afraid to be along with him. So we dump it on the pastor. We dump it on somebody else. And then we bring other people on the trip. That's not what God wants. And we need to do like Abraham did. He said this, please listen. He said, abide ye here with the ass. This is what he said to the two young men. He said, you boys stay here with the donkey because I am the lad. I myself and the promise are going to meet with God and we'll come back here. Are you catching the picture? By the way, just for a freebie here, it says, I and the lad will go and worship God and come back. How many know he wasn't going up there to sing a slow song? He was going up there to obey God. Are you kidding? See, we need to learn to let God lead us. That's the personal relationship that we get to have. Most of you know my relationship with my wife, but I'll throw it out to you very quickly. How many would like to know how my relationship with my wife started? Are you ready for this? How many don't want to know? Cover your eyes. Here we go. Are you ready? I don't know if you can handle this, all right? But let me explain the relationship, because this is what God wants. Girl, guy. We got a relationship, because I recognized right off the bat she wasn't a dude. Are you following this, okay? You see, it's girl, guy, it's savior, sinner. We have a relationship, but it shouldn't stop there. I didn't take the pastor's word for it or her father's word for it that she was going to be a knockout for the next 33 years of my life, 31 being married and two of them chasing her. Well, actually, it was running from her. She was chasing me. I need to be a little careful. I'm behind the pulpit. I mean, she started out to be girl, guy. Then she became my date. She became my steady. She became my financier. I mean, fiance, you know. And then she became my bride. Then she became my lover. And then she, listen, 6 years later, she took another role. What was that? She became the mother of our son. See, the relationship is still growing. That's the same way God wants to. But it has to sometimes get alone. We have to get alone with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to have a face-to-face confrontation with Him. The Bible says that God spoke to Moses face-to-face. The King James says, as a man speaks to a friend. But the actual literal translation is, as a man speaks to a lover. God's showing you and I something. Remember I said she became my girlfriend, my date, my steady, fiancé, that's what it is. My bride, what did she become? My lover. The fruit of that came 6 years later when our son was born. When you and I have a face-to-face confrontation with God, it should be behind a closed door. It should be in His presence. And when you have that face-to-face, isn't it amazing how God ordained us to have procreation? Face-to-face. And when it happens, conception takes place. Visions and dreams are birthed on the inside. You cannot keep them in there. They're going to start showing. No matter what you do, you can be like my wife who tried to hide the fact that she was pregnant. It didn't do any good. It just went boop, and the watermelon showed. And then she got to deliver it to a world. That's what happens when we allow God to lead us and not afraid to be with Him one-on-one. So that's the wonderful wilderness. Now He's leading us to a wilderness. I think He's leading the wrong way sometimes. He leads me to a place. You know, it's like sometimes you want to go, God, is there another one of you out there? Don't you all look at me that way. I mean, He's led me to a place where I got a mountain on the left, I got a mountain on the right, I got a Red Sea impassable in front of me, and I've got some Egypt guys in chariots coming after me. Is there any other God up there? Because I need help now. Hello. But see, God is preparing you for what He's prepared for you. Because at that position, are you ready? If you look to the left, you got a mountain. If you look to the right, you got a mountain. If you look behind you, you got an enemy chasing up your tail. And if you look in front of you, it is impossible. So where do you look? You look up. Because my help cometh from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh in the name of the Lord. Psalms 121 verse 1 and 2. What is God doing? He's preparing you for what He's prepared for you. Now He's going to give you instructions. Where are you at? In the wilderness. Where are you at? In the wilderness. God's talking. Where? I'm in a wilderness. God's preparing me. He's got a better deal. He's working on a better deal. And He says, this is where you are. Turn and camp. Isn't that cool? And He tells them exactly where to go to camp, which is very important. But watch this. You're walking this way. God is really simple. Turn. I mean, you think by watching some Christians where Christians are dog and pony shows. No, just you walk and God says, turn. Isn't that cool? People say, Jay, why did you move to Texas? God said, turn. We turned. But then He said something cool. He says, and in camp, which is where we get our word camp, which means this situation is very temporary. You're not going to be there. You all know what camping is. If you're like my wife, she likes to go camping in tents. I like camping at the Marriott, okay? She likes camping. You know, let me go to the La Quinta and get two remote controls and go wild. I mean, that's me, okay? She likes to play with mosquitoes. I don't understand a woman. That's not me. I get enough of that with cowboys. But it's only temporary. I please her because I know it's only 3 or 4 days. Got the picture? See? Where God's bringing us to prepare us is very temporary. And then he says, verse number 3, the enemy's going to come after you. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, had the devil known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Because the devil's going to think he's got you where he wants you. But God says, I'm going to harden his heart, so he'll come right to you. Verse 5, I like verse 5. 2 Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 says, listen to this. Some of you are running from the devil. Do you realize if you would stop, the devil would have a head-on collision with your rear end? You're giving too much glory. Verse 5 says, and it when it was told Pharaoh, Pharaoh's the type of the devil. When it was told him, how do you lose 2 million people and don't know it? He just lost 2 million people, and somebody had to tell him, hey, Pharaoh, you wonder why there's no buzzing of saws today and there's no banging of the hammers and the brick clanging sound isn't happening. Well, the Israelites, they're gone. How do you lose 2 million people? This wasn't the Sabbath day. This was Monday morning work day. And the people are gone. See, the devil is not omnipresent and he's not omnipotent. He's omni-dum-dum. And you need to understand that. He is omni-dum-dum. He tried to take on the king of the universe and got his tail whooped. In fact, I kind of humor myself. I always look at the devil. He's like a chihuahua. Have you ever wondered why a chihuahua's eyeballs are bugged out so far? Because he used to be a German shepherd until he messed with God and God stuffed him in that little skin. His eyeballs are popped out. And the Bible says when we finally see him for what he is, we're going to look at him and go, what? Huh? That's the chihuahua that brought me into fear and trembling? And he ain't got no teeth on top of that. He's been gumming my heels and I've been running. But then it says, why did we do this? Why did we let them go from serving us? We were good servants to the devil. We served him good. So no matter how gloriously you've been saved and how spectacular your deliverance has, the enemy is going to come after you. But it's all in the plan of God. God has a better deal for you. Who's doing the leading? God. Do you think he might know something you don't? Because he is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows everything that's going to happen. He is God Almighty. He knows exactly where to lead the enemy to see his downfall in your personal life. So it goes on in verses 6 through number 8. It talks about how the enemy starts chasing after the Israelites. And then it says they pursued after them. Are you listening? Verse 9, and overtook them. You ever been just walking around thinking everything's good and all of a sudden get slapped upside down the head and wonder where it came from? You're out there just, you know, singing my favorite church song. You're just walking around, happy Christian, going zippity-doo-da, zippity. Where'd that come from? I mean, it's like you bit the dog, ate the cat, swallowed the canary. Where'd it happen? The devil just caught up. Why? Because he's coming after you. He wants to take you down. But do you know where he caught up at? Verse number 9 says the exact location that God told Israel to camp. Who's doing the leading? God is. Where's he bringing the enemy? Right to you. For what purpose? To bring him down. Because God is preparing you for what he's prepared for you. He's got a better deal in mind. Doesn't look like a better deal. You go verses 10 through 13 and you see they start murmuring and complaining. Look just like Donald Duck. If some of you want to know what you look like Donald Duck. Just go rent that Disney cartoon of Jack and Mickey and the Beanstalk and watch Donald, because some of you look just like that. You're all kinds of happy. You've cashed the check and haven't even got it yet. Hello? And you're just, oh, glory to God. Oh, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's actual. It's factual. It's satisfactual. And then when you look at your wallet and you ain't got enough, you can't even afford to pay attention, okay? Then it's, I'm depressed. I'm depressed every day. And then you yell at your wife. You pull your hair out. Because the devil just caught up. He's got to put pressure on you. He knows he can't get you back into his kingdom. So he wants to get you to serve him as a born-again, blood-washed saint of the living God. But God has a better deal on mine. Right? So Moses then, in verse number 14, I believe it is, Moses says, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy that you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. Did you know there is no evidence that Moses prayed about that? They're very important. You want to know why we come to church? So you can be like Moses. You know why we read our Bible on our own? So we can be like Moses. See, the Bible says in Matthew 12, 34, it says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. When the pressure was on Moses, guess what came out of his heart? The word of Almighty God. Hello. Are you catching it? See, our life is like a sponge. You take a sponge and there is, on the kitchen table, there's orange juice, and you grab that sponge and you slop up that orange juice and you go over the sink and squeeze that sponge. How many know grape juice ain't coming out? Pineapple juice is not coming out of that sponge. What's in the sponge? Orange juice. What's going to come out of the sponge? Orange juice. If you put the word of God on the inside, what's going to come out when the pressure is on? The word of God's going to come out of your mouth. So just like Moses, he didn't pray about it. He just spoke it. How do I know? Because between verse 14 and 15, Moses had a staff meeting with God. You say, how do you know, Jay? Because verse 15 says, why are you crying unto me? Tell the people to go forward. He had a staff meeting. God said, stop your bawling. Get up and start walking. Right? You're bigger than that enemy. Stop telegraphing to the enemy what's going on in your life. Anybody ever watched David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath? Did you know he never prayed about taking on Goliath? He didn't. The Bible said he had been at Bethlehem, the house of bread. Then it says his father said, go deliver your brethren cheese and crackers. Boy, that's a divine assignment, isn't it? You know, we want the marquee with our name on it. We want all the glory and all the... Would you just go deliver cheese and crackers to your brethren? God had a better plan for that boy. There was a better deal in mind for that boy. He gets there and he sees this ugly guy, you know, yelling and spitting and hollering and shouting. And he says, hey, he's coming down. Let no man's heart fear because of that uncircumcised Philistine. I'll take the sucker down. I took on a lion. I took on a bear. That dog is coming down. See, God led him to the place of the enemy's destruction. And you know, because he took him down, 1 Samuel 17:52 says, because he took down the giant, it says all the rest of the Israelites chased the rest of the Philistines. You see, when you stand your ground and you let God prepare you for what he's prepared for you, you let him lead you where he wants to lead you, you become a divine influence to people. They look at your life and they know that they can win in Jesus' name. And then it goes on and he says, lift up your rod, stretch forth your hand, divide the waters, and you will walk upon dry ground. You know what Moses did? He stretched forth his hand. He lifted up the rod, excuse me. Stretched forth his hand, divided the waters, and the waters started separating. But it tells you and I, and I'm not sure what verse it is. It's written down there for you. Somewhere, like Paul said. It says that the waters went back all night. It was an instant miracle that took all night. See, some of us give up a little bit early. While you're sleeping, God's still working on a miracle for you. He's looking to bring the enemy down in your life. All night while you're sleeping, He's turning things over in your life. He's making a way for you to walk on dry ground where you're not going to be stuck, because God has prepared a new deal for you. The difference is we need to listen to what Howie Mandel says on Deal or No Deal. It's your choice. Deal or no deal? Are you going to trust Him now? Or you want to go back? Do you want to go forward and enjoy what God has prepared for you? Or do you want to keep walking around in circles? Deal or no deal? But God is preparing you for what He's prepared for you. And then Israel walks on dry ground. They cross over on dry ground. But when they get over there, all of a sudden the enemy that's been protected, by the way, with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, the enemy starts chasing after them. You want to see what kind of enemy you're running from? He is a giant ding-dong. First off, they have 9 plagues that wipe out a bunch of stuff, including their firstborn. Then they come to a Red Sea. Folks, do you know what kept the enemy from Israel? A bonfire. And it ain't a Boy Scout fire, folks. This fire was big enough, this pillar of fire was big enough that no matter what Egypt wanted to do, they couldn't cross that line. And as soon as I take one look at that, I'm going back home. That's why I always get a kick out of it. It says that Samson killed 1,000 people with a jawbone of a donkey. How many people do you want to look at getting slaughtered by one dude before you say, I think I'll just go home and eat lunch? But the enemy stands there like a jerk, you know, and he sees this and the fire moves. He goes, come on, boys, tally-ho! And they get out there. Moses lifts up the rod again. The waters, I like what God does. He likes to be involved with this deal. He doesn't stand on the outside. He's involved. He says, Moses, lift up your rod again. We'll do it one more time. This time we're going to close it. Oh, before we do, watch this trick. I'm going to make the water, the pathway muddy. Watch. Boop! Pops off their wheels. They're dragging axles. God's involved. And then Moses lifts up the rod, you know, and separate, and the waters start coming back. And this is what it says in verse number 28. God has prepared for you that which He's prepared for you. It says, and there remain not so much as one. Verse 30 says, and the Lord saved them, and they saw their enemy no more forever. You see, a dead enemy cannot haunt you anymore. God had a better deal for them. God has a better deal for you. Let me tell you where I got the title of this message. I've been working on this for months. And there's a young man that a doctor friend of mine said, I need to talk to this young man. So I made arrangements to talk to this young man, went out to a Starbucks. Let me tell you how easy it is to help people. He's hung up with drugs and alcohol and got all kinds of problems. I reached across the table. I grabbed him by the hand. I only know one name that works. It's not my multiplicity of words in prayer. I looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, be free. He's not had a drink in 4 months. No drugs in 4 months. About 2 months later, this was in operation in his life. And I sat down at the table with him. You could tell all hell had just broke loose in his life. Because of drugs and alcohol, you know what happens. Then you become, do things you shouldn't. You become a criminal, had a felony rap sheet. Everything now is going to bite him in the tail. He's trying to get a job. Thinks everything's going right, and then she finds out he's got a record. They can't hire somebody for 7 years after that record. His whole life is now devastated. He thinks everything, he's trying his best to go forward. He's free from drugs. He's free from alcohol. He's working a job. But that job's going to end. We sat down and we started talking about this. And I said, look, if you just trust God right here, look what He's going to do. I said, if we don't kill the enemy, he'll come back to haunt you. I explained to him, do you know why when they got to the Red Sea, it wasn't open? Because if they got to the Red Sea and God had it open and they crossed and it was closed and the enemy's on one shore and you're on the other, do you know what? They could have built a bridge, barges, boats, crossed over and still chased you. I said, but what God wants you to do is see that you have your enemy dead on the shore. And that enemy will never haunt you anymore. And he looked at me and he said, Jay, that's a better deal. That's where it came from. I shared some things with that young man because he saw there's a better deal. Sure, it hurts like hell, and it does. When things like that come in your life, it's like all hell's been vomited up in your life and you're living a nightmare. But if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, God has a better deal for you. And he walked this out just before I left to come on this trip about 2 weeks ago, just before I left, he said, Jay, I did what you said. I got the job. They bypassed authorities and rules and regulations. And he got the job that he really wanted with a big company. He got the job because he was willing to walk it out. Sure, for those few weeks it was hell, or that month it was hell. But you know what? A dead enemy cannot haunt you anymore. I always tell people I'm not an ex-alcoholic. I will never be an ex-alcoholic. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Verse number 28 says, and there remained not so much as one of them. That means there will never be the evidence that you were a drug addict or an alcoholic or this or that. Doesn't make any difference. You're a new person in Christ. God has a new deal for you this morning. Now I need to go. Is it a deal or no deal? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? He has a new deal for you. He wants to offer his son, Jesus Christ, to you this morning. If you have never met Jesus, he has a new deal for you. He'll take what you are in sin, and your life is filled with a lot of questions and hurts and pains. He's got a new deal, and that new deal is his son, Jesus Christ. All you need to do this morning is say yes to Jesus.